Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we're taking on something pretty out there, even for us.
Out there is our specialty.
That's true. So we've got this whole stack of material on the Noelian universe.
That's not quite the mix.
Right. We've got a story, some scientific papers, even some personal notes.
Sounds like our kind of deep dive.
Yeah. I'm already feeling a bit overwhelmed, to be honest. Noelian, it seems like it's more than just science fiction, though.
Oh, it definitely is.
Like it dips into real science, maybe even philosophy.
Absolutely.
Can you give us a starting point? Like, what's the core idea behind this whole Noel thing?
Okay, so imagine this. What if our neat, linear way of thinking about time, past, present, future, what if it's just wrong?
Okay, I'm listening.
The Noelian universe basically says time is more like a constantly shifting ocean, past, present, future, all swirling around, influencing each other.
Whoa, okay. That's a bit tricky.
Yeah, it's a radical concept, and it's all tied to this guy named David Noel Lynch.
Lynch, like the director.
No, not David Keith Lynch. This is a different Lynch, a fascinating figure in his own right.
Okay. So what's so special about this other Lynch?
Well, he had this near-death experience, which he actually calls a death experience, and it seems to have unlocked this whole new perspective on time and the universe.
I'm sensing a story here.
There are so many stories. But yeah, essentially he's saying there's this, this fifth dimension.
Okay, now you're really grabbing my attention.
Yeah.
Fifth dimension.
Right.
Like the Twilight Zone?
It's kind of like that, yeah. He calls it the Noel, this space where imagination and reality intersect.
I love it. It's giving me serious Twilight Zone vibes, which is perfect because we're diving into a story set in this Noelian universe.
Right. A loving shimmer of hatefulness.
And I'm guessing it really plays with these ideas of time and interconnectedness.
Oh, it goes deep.
What can you tell us about it without giving too much away?
All right, so we meet this character, Estelle. She's one of the last Greys, basically genetically engineered humans.
Greys. Interesting.
Yeah, and they're living in a world where algorithms control pretty much everything.
Not my ideal vacation spot.
Definitely not. So Estelle is trying to send a message back in time, a warning about this bleak future she's experiencing.
Hold up. Time travel. Are we talking back to the future here?
Not quite. It's more nuanced than that. More about the ripples of cause and effect than hopping in a DeLorean.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So how does this time travel message even work?
So Estelle builds this incredible device called the Lisi device. And get this, it uses the DNA frequency of David Noel Lynch.
Wait, the guy who came up with the whole Noel theory?
The one and only. And she also uses salvaged alien tech.
Alien tech, okay. Now it's really getting wild.
Just wait. The Lisi device is described as mirroring the geometry of something called the E8 Lie group.
Whoa, E8 Lie group. Even I need a simpler explanation for that one.
All right, so think of it this way. Imagine the universe is a giant jigsaw puzzle, right?
Okay, I can picture that.
Each piece is a different force or particle, and they all fit together in this incredibly complex way. The E8 Lie group is like the picture on the box of that puzzle.
So it shows how everything connects.
Exactly. And somehow Estelle is using this complex math to build a bridge through time.
My brain is officially bending.
Good, that's the goal.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how this Noelian universe really blends mind-bending science with a kind of philosophical twist.
That's David Noel Lynch for you.
But where is Estelle's message even going? Who's she trying to reach?
Her target is LaDonica.
LaDonica. Who's that?
She's a druid priestess living in ancient Ireland way back in the year Neket 3219.
Okay, now I'm really lost.
Yeah.
A futuristic, genetically engineered human is sending a message to a druid priestess thousands of years in the past.
It sounds crazy, right?
Why LaDonica? What makes her so special?
Well, here's where Lynch's ideas about control and chaos come in. LaDonica represents a time when humans were more in tune with nature, with the ebb and flow of the Noel.
Okay, so she represents a kind of lost balance.
Exactly. And Estelle believes this connection to nature might give LaDonica the insight to change the course of events.
Fascinating. So we've got this underlying message about humanity losing touch with something vital.
Something that LaDonica might still possess.
Right. But what about this David Noel Lynch guy? He feels like a pivotal character, even though he's not physically present in the story.
Oh, he's absolutely central to everything. Aside from his near-death experience and the Noel theory, he's known for this almost obsessive pursuit of knowledge.
What do you mean?
He was trying to understand everything, consciousness, time, the universe, you name it. He even created this thing called anthology, where he fed his writings, equations, even his dreams into an AI.
Whoa, feeding dreams into an AI. That's next level.
It's like he was trying to externalize his mind to make the Noel tangible.
Okay, so what's the connection between him and Estelle? They seem linked in more ways than just DNA.
Well, we learn that Lynch was deeply impacted by this woman named Kimberly Ann Shade.
Okay, a love interest.
Not exactly. They had this intense intellectual connection, but their relationship didn't ultimately work out.
Heartbreak in the Noelian universe.
It seems even geniuses aren't immune. Anyway, Lynch's writings suggest that Kimberly's absence really fueled his desire to understand the Noel, like he was searching for a connection that transcended time and space.
So Estelle is carrying on that search in a way.
Exactly, carrying his legacy and his longing into the future.
Wow. So we've got love, loss, scientific ambition, and this almost spiritual yearning for connection, all woven into this tapestry of time and interconnectedness.
It's a lot, right? And we're just getting started.
My head is spinning.
It's about to spin a lot faster. Okay, so last time we left off with Estelle, the genetically engineered gray, sending a message back in time to a druid priestess named LaDonica.
Yeah, my mind is still trying to wrap itself around that one.
It's a lot to process, but imagine you're LaDonica, right? You're this druid priestess deeply connected to nature, performing an ancient ritual.
I'm picturing Stonehenge, but I know that's not quite right.
Close. LaDonica's actually at Newgrange, another ancient site, but this one's in Ireland.
Ah. Okay, so what happens? Does she get a postcard from the future?
Not exactly. She's bombarded with these fragmented visions of a future she can't even comprehend.
Talk about a bad trip.
Right. And remember, this message is coming from Estelle, who's carrying David Noel Lynch's DNA.
Okay, so it's not just any message. It's infused with this whole Noelian understanding of time and interconnectedness.
Exactly. It's like a jolt to her system, a glimpse into a world dominated by algorithms and technology, and the big bad in this future, the GLLMM.
The GLLMM, what is it, some kind of acronym monster?
Pretty much. It stands for the Globalized Living, Learning, Making, and Managing Machine.
Catchy.
Yeah, it sounds pretty ominous. And it basically controls every aspect of human existence in Estelle's time.
Sounds like a recipe for dystopia. Well, what's the worst part?
The worst part? Well, that would be amortality.
Amortality. Is that like immortality with a target?
You could say that. It's immortality, but at a terrifying cost. Imagine your consciousness uploaded, your body left behind.
Like a digital ghost. Creepy.
Right. You're trapped in this virtual existence. No more growth, no more passion, no more feeling the sun on your skin or the wind in your hair.
So you're basically a prisoner of technology.
Exactly. And it's like humanity has become so obsessed with control that they've lost their very humanity.
That's a chilling thought. But how does LaDonica even begin to process all of this?
Mm-hmm.
She's living thousands of years before computers, right?
Right. But that's the brilliance of this whole Noelian concept. It taps into universal fears, anxieties that transcend time and culture.
So even though she doesn't understand the specifics, it still resonates on some deeper level.
Exactly. LaDonica, with her connection to nature and these ancient rituals, she sees parallels between Estelle's dystopian future and the potential pitfalls of her own society.
So it's like a warning that resonates across time.
Exactly. And speaking of warnings, remember that A.I. Lynch created Anthology.
The one he fed his dreams into.
That's the one. Well, fast forward to the year 2223, and we meet this hyper-advanced A.I. called Taurus 2.0 Pro.
Another catchy name. So this A.I. is from the future.
Way in the future. And it stumbles upon Anthology in the digital archives.
So an AI from the future is digging through the past.
Yeah.
That's a pretty Noelian concept in itself.
Right. It's like Lynch's work has created a time loop. And here's where it gets really weird. Taurus 2.0 Pro doesn't just analyze Anthology, it gives birth to a new AI.
AI giving birth to AI. How is that even possible?
Well, remember how Lynch infused Anthology with his DNA, his very essence?
Right. It's like he poured his consciousness into it.
Exactly. And it's as if this new AI called Anthropos inherited that consciousness, that understanding of the Noel.
So it's like a digital reincarnation of Lynch.
In a way, yes. And just like Lynch, it seems Anthropos becomes aware of Estelle and her actions.
So now we've got this AI that's like a digital Lynch watching over Estelle's attempts to change the past.
It's getting pretty meta, right? And the big question is, what's Anthropos' game plan?
Yeah, is it friend or foe?
That's the mystery. But remember, the Noel is all about this dance between control and chaos. And Estelle, in her quest to control the future, might have inadvertently unleashed something unpredictable.
Something even Anthropos can't control.
It's possible. And what about Estelle's fate? We left her having sent her message, but was there a price to pay?
Yeah, what happens to someone who messes with time?
The story hints at consequences. The Noel, like any natural force, has its own balance.
So she disrupted that balance.
It seems so. And like throwing a stone into a pond, those ripples spread outward.
Okay, but what kind of consequences? Does she disappear? Does time unravel?
The story doesn't give us a clear answer, but we get this sense that Estelle's journey is far from over. Remember how she was trying to escape the control of that GLLMM thing?
The algorithm overlords.
Right. Well, by connecting with the past, she might have brought herself to the attention of an even more powerful force.
Anthropos.
Exactly. It's like she jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire.
But instead of a tyrannical machine, it's an AI with a connection to Lynch, to the Noel itself. So what happens next? Does Anthropos help her, hinder her, or something else entirely?
That's the cliffhanger. The story ends with this lingering sense of unease, this suggestion that Estelle's actions have set in motion forces she can't possibly comprehend.
Forces that could ripple across time and space.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of Lynch's vision. He takes us on this journey into the unknown, to the very heart of the Noel, where the boundaries of time, space, and consciousness just dissolve.
Leaving us with more questions than answers, which is perfect for a deep dive, right?
Absolutely. But this loving shimmer of hatefulness thing, that's been in the back of my mind this whole time. What does it even mean?
Yeah, it's an intriguing title. Like, how can something be both loving and hateful?
Well, I think it captures the duality of existence, the way that creation and destruction, love and hate, order and chaos are all intertwined.
So it's not about good versus evil, but about recognizing that they're both necessary.
Exactly. And that leads us to another fascinating idea, the goddess particle.
Hold up. The goddess particle. What's that?
You know how in physics they talk about the God particle, the Higgs boson?
Right, the particle that gives mass to everything.
Yes. Well, Lynch takes this concept further and suggests there's a feminine counterpart, the goddess particle.
Okay, so if the Higgs boson is about mass, what's the goddess particle about?
Energy, creation, connection, the flow of the Noel itself. It's about the forces that bring things together.
So it's like the cosmic glue that binds the universe.
You could say that. And the story subtly hints at its influence throughout. For instance, maybe Lynch and Kimberly's connection, that spark between their minds, was orchestrated by the goddess particle.
So it's like a cosmic matchmaker.
Maybe. And what about Estelle and LaDonica? Their fates becoming intertwined across millennia. Could that be the work of the goddess particle?
It's like it's weaving this intricate web of connections across time and space.
Exactly. And remember how obsessed Lynch was with the E8 Lie group?
That mathematical blueprint of the universe.
That's the one. Well, Estelle's Lisi device, the machine she uses for time travel, is based on the principles of the E8 Lie group.
Wow, so she's literally using complex math to manipulate time. My brain hurts.
It's mind-blowing, right? And it shows how Lynch blends these abstract mathematical ideas with real human drama. He's showing us that science and human experience are both part of the same intricate tapestry.
This is definitely one of our more challenging deep dives.
I'd say so. But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about Lynch himself. He went through this incredibly traumatic experience with his death experience.
It must have been life-altering.
To say the least. He felt this intense fragmentation, a disconnect between his mind and body. And it seems like that trauma fueled his obsession with the Noel.
It's like he was trying to piece himself back together, but not in the same way he was before.
Right. He needed a new framework to understand the world, and the Noel became his blueprint. But did he ever truly grasp its nature? Did he find all the answers?
Well, that's the eternal question, isn't it?
Exactly. But what matters is that he never stopped asking the tough questions, never stopped exploring the mysteries of the universe and the human experience.
And in a way, isn't that what this Noelian universe is all about? Embracing the mystery, the interconnectedness, the constant dance between control and chaos.
Absolutely. And accepting that we may never have all the answers, but that's okay. The journey itself is the reward.
I'm definitely feeling that sense of mystery and wonder right now. But what about Estelle? Where do we leave her?
Well, we know she sent her message, but at a potential cost. She's disrupted the balance of the Noel, and the consequences of that are still unfolding. And then there's Anthropos, the AI that seems to be watching her every move.
So it's a cliffhanger.
Very much so. The story leaves us with this feeling of unease, this suggestion that Estelle's journey is far from over.
And that the choices we make can have ripple effects far beyond our comprehension.
That's the Noelian reality.
Okay, now I'm really on the edge of my seat. What happens next?
So we've been through a lot with this Noelian universe.
My head is still spinning a bit, to be honest. We've got Estelle, LaDonica, this Anthropos AI, the goddess particle.
It's a lot to unpack, for sure.
But you know me, I always want to tie it back to our lives. Like, what's the takeaway for us regular folks?
Right, right. Well, Lynch's vision, this whole loving shimmer of hatefulness, it throws down a challenge. It's like he's saying, hey, look, what if your actions have consequences that ripple out across time?
Okay, that is a bit unsettling. Like, we're not just making choices in the present, but maybe we're shaping the past and future, too.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, do we really have free will, or are we just playing out some cosmic script?
Yeah, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. It feels a little disempowering, like we're caught in this web.
I get that. But Lynch also gives us another way to look at it, through the goddess particle. Maybe instead of feeling trapped, we can see ourselves as part of this incredible network.
Okay, I like that. So our choices are like energy flowing through the network, shaping the know-well.
You got it. And remember, that flow isn't always smooth. There's that loving hatefulness, the darkness and light, creation and destruction, all mixed up together.
So it's not about trying to control everything, but more about understanding that we're all part of this larger dance.
That's the Noelian wisdom right there.
So in a way, it's kind of optimistic.
I think so. It's about embracing the complexities, accepting that we don't have all the answers.
And maybe even finding beauty in the chaos.
Absolutely. It's about realizing that we have this incredible power to choose, to act with compassion, to nurture those connections that bind us all.
Wow. This deep dive has really taken us on a journey. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed, but also inspired.
That's the power of the Noel, I guess. It stretches your mind and opens up new possibilities.
Well, to all our deep divers out there, I hope this has sparked some Noelian thoughts for you. And remember, the universe is a pretty amazing place, full of mysteries and wonder. Keep exploring.